You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for November 1st. Derrick Rose goes banana. Timberwolves go places they hadn't been, make shots they hadn't made, and the Jazz are on the wrong side of it. Some bright spots from Dante Exum. What's the story with Donovan? And a run around the league and a tip of the hat to Nike. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, and geeky little numbers. It is the 1st of November. Snow falling considerably outside my house as I bring this to you today. Hope you're doing great. Thanks very much for tuning in. Jazz fall last night. We'll break it down a little bit. Look at some of the numbers, what took place like we always do. Talk about some of the bright spots of the night as well. Jazz finished the road trip 3-1. They're 4-3. We're just trying to stay above water, people. The Jazz schedule is exhausting, and we're just trying to stay above water. Donovan's hamstring is bad, that's going to be harder to do. But talking to him afterwards, he didn't seem too concerned. Sounded pretty precautionary, but it could be, you know, we'll see. All right, today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending as well as Mazuma USA. So last night's the Derrick Rose night, and it will forever be known that. 50 points, career high, he went bananas. Some of the numbers are just incredible. Derrick Rose dribbled the ball last night over 600 times. Last night, they ran 45 Derrick Rose, Karl Anthony Towns pick and rolls last night. And that's actually pretty brutal if Derrick Rose is going. Derrick Rose rolling and making mid-range shots as an elite ability to get to the rim with a five that pops. What's Rudy supposed to do? You've gone small. Favors is out of the game at this point because you're playing with Crowder. And so they run the pick and roll. Crowder's going out to guard Towns. The few times we put Crowder on Towns, they wouldn't put Towns in the post. Now you're doubling out of that. Karl Anthony Towns is, according to points gained, one of the four best offensive players in the NBA and taxes a defense as much as anyone other than probably Steph and Giannis in the league, maybe Harden when he's rolling, because you put a smaller Crowder on him like the Jazz did, and he is good enough to go in the post and at least damage you or now make you susceptible to giving up threes. And in this day and age, most guys are 35% on catch and shoot threes now. I mean, Rose is not, frankly. Actually, I think Rose might be. And Wiggins are two of the guys, but those Wiggins and Rose are two of the least good shooters in the league. And their catch and shoot numbers, Wiggins is 30% this year, 35% last year. Rose is 36%. Like, you don't find guys in the league anymore that are below 35% catch and shoot on threes very often. I mean, they just don't play a lot. And so when you do have that, then it becomes very difficult to bring a double to anything anymore. And now Rubio last year, okay, Ricky Rubio, who before last season was historically probably the worst shooter the NBA's had, is a 38% catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. Royce O'Neal, who couldn't make the league for a little while because he supposedly couldn't shoot, maybe misunderstanding all the things he could do well, is a 35% catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. Okay? Like, those are, like, when you start to look at that, these guys are just too good now at shooting threes so that when Karl Anthony Towns goes in the post on Crowder, you kind of have to let him go. And then he's scoring. And if you dig in, you're susceptible. Now you got him run a picking roll at the top with Derrick Rose. He pops. Rose is now going one-on-one. You're trying to your job at that point as a defensive player with Rudy having to go out to Towns is to keep Derrick Rose in the mid-range. What can you do? The only thing you can do is try to keep Derrick Rose from getting to the rim. And frankly, the Jazz did a half-decent job at that last night, but Derrick Rose hit his mid-range shots at an alarming rate. and they lost. And Derrick Rose got it rolling, had one of those nights. And as I talked about in Emptying the Noggin, which is available at LockedOnJazz.net or UtahJazz.com/LockedOnJazz, one of the beauties of the NBA is that when a player gets rolling and the greatness is allowed to be shown, there are not a lot of sports. If you're playing baseball, you can intentionally walk Barry Bonds. If you're playing football, I guess you can probably double team a wide receiver and make it hard to get to him, put an extra guy in the box, and it becomes pretty difficult for a running back to really get going. You can, in soccer, if Ronaldo, you want to deny Ronaldo, you just play defensively, you suddenly just put everybody in the box and prevent him from, you know, getting where you might want him to be. And so when Derrick Rose is rolling and goes 5 of 7 on mid-range long twos, 4 of 9 in the paint, not at the restricted area, and 3 of 6 from above the rim, this is a guy who over the last 2 years is shooting below 30% at the rim and goes off. There's not a lot you can do. So pretty incredible night on a basketball sense for Rose. I said my piece on Emptying the Noggin about, I just can't buy into the narrative that because a guy drops 50 points, he becomes a good guy. His struggle is real in the basketball sense. His civil trial last year, I find hard to ignore. But in a basketball sense, and his emotion afterwards was raw and real in his world. Bad night defensively for the Jazz. 123 defensive rating. Fast pace at 104. Minnesota's number one team in transition. Jazz couldn't keep him out of it enough. Couldn't get him stopped in the half court because of that pick and roll. I talked about it yesterday on the show, by the way. I mean, this is a bad matchup. This is a tough matchup for us. Running through a few of the other numbers last night in shot distribution and those things. Jazz, by the way, were brilliant on the offensive glass last night. 38% of all their misses, they got their own rebound, including 3 shots late, which then Derrick Rose got Dante Exum's blocked the shot. Apologize, my call from where I was standing, couldn't see, blocked it, just called it an air ball. Jazz shooting last night, shot distribution 74% again. It's great. 46% of their shots at the rim. I mean, the Jazz had a brilliant offensive game. Jazz offensive rating was a 121. The shot distribution is just amazing. 7 more dunks. 46% of your shots at the rim. 29% of your shots is threes. You probably would like to be back up at, you know, is there any way you can go 35% of your shots as threes? Well, doing that and be at the league average. Weren't a lot of threes in last night's game. According to Cleaning the Glass, Minnesota last night took 22% of their shots as a long two, which is in the 92nd percentile, and hit 53% of them, which is in the 78th percentile. I mean, this was a out-of-whack numbers night last night. Minnesota at the rim, because Karl-Anthony Towns is lifted, Gobert can't have as much of a feature, were 73%, which is in the 84th percentile. They shot 9 of 16 on short mid-range shots in the paint. Short mid-range is usually about 39%. They're at 56. They're at 53% on mid-range, which is usually about 40%. And above the break threes, which is about 36%, they're at 53%. I mean, this was stupid last night at how much the Jazz just got on the wrong side of a numbers game because a guy had an unbelievable night. The Jazz actually did a pretty good job of keeping Minnesota in the half court. They played 78% of their plays in the half court last night, which is really high for Minnesota. So actually, I made a comment either. The Jazz couldn't keep them out of the transition. That was early. Late in the game, the Jazz did a great job of that. The Jazz did not have a good game in transition. The Jazz got out and just missed a lot of shots. Jazz shot 65% at the rim, which is right about average. Missed some layups, did some things of that nature. Interesting, the Jazz are not running off of rebounds at all. I don't think the Jazz had much of any action last night off of, they're not getting out after rebounds. It's something probably to look into a little bit last night. But that, you know, there were some things last night, and I actually don't mind. I mean, that was an incredible performance. And I'll tell you what, I don't mind a great deal when you lose a game because the numbers are out of whack. It's a little bit screwy last night. But only 8 screen assists tell you that, you know, some of the things we were getting were different than usual. Karl-Anthony Towns had 7. Rudy Gobert or Ricky Rubio is our deflection leader with three. They had 17 deflections. They were they're the number one team in the NBA in deflections. Four for Wiggins, three for Gibson, four for Towns, three for Okogie, three for Tolliver. Loose balls last night. Jazz had the advantage 10-8, three for Joe Ingles, two for Rubio, two for Dante Exum. I think that's it, isn't it? Where's player tracking? Let me see. Open looks last night. Uncontested looks, we were 26 of 57. 57 uncontested looks, 46%. They were 27 of 51, 53%. And on contested looks, they shot 23 of 35. It was just a superhuman night by Derrick Rose. Numbers go out the window. Jazz lost. Well, there were also some dynamics that I don't think helped the Jazz. Dante Exum looked terrific, though, and we'll talk about that. Some really great signs from Dante. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a second. Today's show is brought to you by Mazuma USA. If you are a small business owner, 1 to 5 employees, and you are tired of doing all your own bookkeeping, all that kind of stuff, then Mazuma's here for you. Here's how it works. You sign up with Mazuma USA. You can put in the promo code LOCKED or you can give them a call at Mazuma USA. .com. I'll give you the number in a second. And what's so cool is they assign a CPA and a bookkeeper to you. Once that person is assigned to you, then you end up with the monthly reports coming right to you once you've hooked up. Every quarter you do a tax call, and at the end of the year, all your taxes are done for you. There's no contract. You can cancel any times, and there's no hidden fees. It's pretty cool. MazumaUSA.com, 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102. $75 a month, you have your own CPA and your own tax person. I like it a lot. 801-980-2102. Mazuma USA. Dante Exum is still developing before our eyes. I think we all want to accelerate his development at a really, really high rate and maybe in a manner that's at times unfair for him. And he reminds me a little bit from a fan standpoint. This is kind of a weird comparison because he's a much better player. But Ronnie Price used to be a fan favorite because he had a highlight play every night. And so you'd leave the arena feeling really excited about how good Ronnie Price was because he had a highlight every night. Dante has a highlight every night. The things that's going to turn Dante into a really valuable player are not those items. The things that are going to turn Dante in is a beginning to understand the game better, see the game better, slow down. As one of the Jazz coaches said, Superman doesn't have his cape on all the time. And Dante's got to learn when to use Superman's skills that he has, because he has them. With that speed is electric and amazing. And so when does he use it and when does he not use it? And one of the things we're seeing this year is Dante's turnover rate is way down. So that's really exciting. He's gone from turning it over 16% of his possessions to 8% in the last 2 years. Now, his assist rate is down as well. But you know what? It all comes together. And his, you know, there's some areas where he's still not particularly efficient. There were two, in fact, his effective field goal percentage right now is, I think, at 46%, which is bad. There were two plays last night, though, three plays last night that are really exciting in the development of Dante Exum. And really, I think that's all we should ever be talking about right now with Dante, is still allowing him, and realize that the Jazz made a commitment to Dante in the offseason, which allows us kind of a 2-year window to let him have these steps and have them happen. You know, a little bit when you sign him this 3-year contract, what you're hoping for is that this year he gives you value somewhat probably below the $11 million. Next year he gives you $11 million, and the third year he gives you $18 million value, you know, or something of that sort. So here are the three plays last night that jumped out to me on Dante that were exciting. One, there was a fast break, which he brought down the floor, slowed down, allowed the defense to move past him. He was at the top. He waited, underhand scoop to Joe Ingles for a wide open three. Joe missed it. Okay, I don't care about that. That's, you know, Joe missed it. Okay. But Dante instead of forcing, instead of becoming the baby giraffe where he trips over himself before, instead of getting in the lane with too much speed or gusto, Dante saw it, felt it, played it perfectly. Really, really well done. That's not a play I've seen him make a lot. Another pick and roll. Dante turns the corner, calmly, slowly, works a low left hand, which is not his good hand, dribble in the pocket, holds his ground, brings the defense to him, wraps a pass around to Favors. Favors goes to lay it up and in. I think he's fouled. I don't know if he finished or not. Again, not a play that, frankly, I've seen out of Dante. Kind of awesome. Not kind of awesome. Really awesome. And then there's two plays where Dante comes off the pick and the Jazz run what I think some people, Dan Clayton and Andy Larson, are calling Spain pick and roll. The Jazz have a different name for it, but I don't want to give it up. And what that is Dante comes off a pick, and then the big is going to drop to – the defensive big is going to drop to try to cut off Dante, and the Jazz come and set a back pick on the big is the best way to say it. And Dante read two of them last night perfectly and just blitzed to the basket and for easy layups. I thought he was really terrific. Defensively, I thought he was fairly good against Rose, frankly. Again, if Derrick Rose is making the shots he's making last night, the NBA set rules are set in a way that you can't do anything about it, and that's great. That's what I love about the game. So to Dante, I thought that was kind of cool last night. We're seeing that progression. Does that mean he's ready to be a starting point guard in the NBA? In my opinion, no, not yet. I don't think he is. But those are the signs of the things, and I don't know still to this day what position Dante is. But those four plays, to me, were exciting to see from Dante. You look at his box score line last night. I think he goes 4 of something. He ends up taking two shots in the last 16 seconds of the game. One's a dunk, and the other's the block shot that aren't really real shots. So I would take two of those off and just kind of look at the game otherwise. For him, he hit a three, missed a three, he got to the rim, he finished. It was just a lot of things I liked about Dante's performance last night. The Jazz ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw last night. Jimmy Butler's whole shenanigans are outrageous in Minnesota. And at some point in the process, when you've MF'd the general manager to say, you can't beep and win without me, and degraded these players to the level that he has, someone's going to come back and fight. Now, it doesn't look as though Andrew Wiggins has the mentality to come fight that. But Karl-Anthony Towns with Jimmy Butler on the floor and without Jimmy Butler on the floor is just two totally different players. And Derrick Rose got it going last night, but that's a prideful dude. That's a three-time All-Star, former MVP. And when Jimmy Butler is just evidently showing up at shoot-arounds, deciding he doesn't want to play to try to force their hand to just, they got blown out by Milwaukee earlier, and supposedly that locker room that night, it's just an incredible disconnect of what's going on, where Butler's unfazed by them losing by 30, has no pride in the team. When that stuff is going on, guys, Quinn knew it. Quinn was like, this is not good at shoot-around. And obviously coaches get really nervous and they freak out about stuff and, that's what they do. But he knew that this was a bad setup for where the Jazz were and what was going on. And just look at these numbers. And last night adds to them, but they were accurate coming in. I couldn't get him into the broadcast last night. When Karl-Anthony Towns is on the floor with Jimmy Butler, he's shooting 40% from the field and 33% from three. When he's off the floor, when Jimmy Butler's off the floor, Karl-Anthony Towns is shooting 52% and 42% from three. That's stunning. When Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler are on the floor together. Andrew Wiggins is shooting 19%. When Andrew Wiggins is on the floor with Karl Anthony Towns and not Jimmy Butler, he is shooting 61% and 55% from three. And Derrick Rose is now 54% and 46% from three. When Jeff Teague is on the floor with Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler, he's shooting 32%. I mean, it is, sorry, the first number, the Timberwolves stats, when Karl Anthony Towns is on the floor, Jimmy Butler, they're shooting 40%, 33% from three. When Butler's off the floor, they shoot 52% and 42% from three. That's pretty telling. This dude is jacking up everything they're doing. And when he didn't play last night, even though he's an all-star, it just meant that the Jimmy Butler show went away and these guys could have a collective moment with the jerk in the room not there anymore. That was a bad script for the Jazz last night. Donovan Mitchell just felt soreness in his hamstring last night with 5 minutes left with the eighth game of the year. And I think the Lodge, you know, smart enough to say something to someone. He's smart enough to understand the whole season. And you pull a hamstring, you tear a hamstring, your season's really not coming back. And the schedule is funky the way, I mean, I don't know if that attributed to it, but the NBA is trying to do all these things to try to help players rest. I'm just not sure sitting in hotel rooms for 2 days at a time actually does that. A tip of the hat to Nike. And some notes from around the NBA. I cannot wait till tomorrow, by the way, to do points gained, because I cannot wait to see what Steph Curry's points gained are. Holy smokes. I don't know why. I'm like on the verge of swearing like all show long today, which would be bad. It is a Utah show, right? Today's show is brought to you in part by Intercap Lending. Intercap Lending has been advertising on Locked On Jazz for over the last year. They have had amazing growth in the time period. They now have 11 branches, Tooele, two in Utah County, Ogden, the Palace, and Cottonwood. What is Intercap Lending? Intercap Lending is a 40-year-old lending company that Josh Romney brought to Utah, is now employing a bunch of people in Utah with it. And their goal is to be a direct lender to allow you to have an easier experience. This is what we experienced when we did our loan with Steve Carter. He said to me at the time, we want you getting your mortgage to be as easy as it is to order pizza. If you go online right now with your app, you can just order pizza and it's like that. Okay, there's some government regulations which make mortgages a little harder, but not that much harder. That's what's amazing. Download the Intercap Lending app right now and you can actually pre-qualify without talking to anybody, what helps in a fairly insane market out there. They're in 44 states, so it's not just in Utah. Intercap Lending, you can call Steve Carter at 385-800-8528. He was amazing to work with. Great customer service, attentive to the deal, got the deal done in the middle of the season for me. And that's the same thing that everyone who's worked with Steve has shown. Why does Intercap Lending have this amazing growth? Primarily because real estate agents are going to Intercap Lending because they get deals done. And that's how real estate agents get paid, is deals get closed. So if your real agent is not using Intercap, ask him why. Corporate discount if you mention Locked On Jazz. Corporate discount if you mention Locked On Jazz. Call Steve Carter, 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. All right, quickly running around the NBA. I just got a tip of the hat to Nike. If I didn't work for the Jazz, and so that it was in bad taste for me to wear a jersey or clothing from another team, and if I wasn't 48 years old and would look like a total dork doing it, the uniforms that are coming out for every team, the pinstripes from Brooklyn last year, the new Nuggets, the Prince Timberwolves outfits, it's just so cool. The NBA is just at a great spot of kind of cultural cross-reference. The Halloween costumes last night, tipped off by Robin Lopez on the ET end of things, was probably the best. The league's just got a really cool vibe going in that direction right now. I thought it'd be fun on this Thursday. Great, by the way, great Locked On NBA show if you're looking for something to do when we're done with this with Sam Amick today. One of my really, really fun conversations. I thought this would be interesting to take a quick check. We're 10 games into the season. I think you can actually start looking at some numbers having some value. But there's some things that aren't going to change. So offensive-wise, the Warriors are 6 points per 100 possessions better than anyone else in the NBA right now. The Warriors are offensive rating is a 119.3. League average is a 107, kind of right where it was last year. There's that weird gap we talked about the other day between the 107 and the 105.5. We're on the front edge of that gap, by the way. We're at 109.7. The Jazz, after last night, have, I think, the 10th best offense in the NBA, which is really incredible. But that's shot distribution change is what that is. The five best offenses in the NBA right now: Warriors, Pelicans, Charlotte Hornets, Toronto Raptors, Portland Trailblazers. Like Charlotte, you got to go look at and decide, like, have they not played people? What's going on there? Worth taking a look at. Milwaukee is 6, San Antonio is 7. Incredible, because their shot distribution is just awful. Lakers are 8, Jazz are 9. Is that right? Yeah. Minnesota's 10. The worst offenses in the league are Orlando, Oklahoma City, Atlanta, Boston, Phoenix, and Houston. Three surprising ones in there. But that's, I mean, it may only be the first games, but you wouldn't expect Boston to have a 7-game stretch with their offense at 100. You wouldn't expect Houston to do it either, or Oklahoma City. Orlando really can't score. Defensive rating. What's interesting on the defensive rating is I think the defensive rating reveals some things early. Boston is equally as dominant defensively as the Warriors. Boston and Milwaukee are equally as dominant defensively right now as the Warriors are offensively. It's incredible. Boston's at a 94.3. League average is a 107. That's 13 points. That's the exact 13 points that the Warriors are to 120. And Milwaukee's at 96. It's good for Boston because otherwise they would have lost a bunch of games with their offense. The third best defense in the NBA is Memphis. Marc Gasol's great. J.B. Bickerstaff doing a hell of a job. And Denver is the fourth best. Indiana is the fifth best. That is not, other than Boston, that is not what we anticipated. Philadelphia is rising up, as we would have thought. That would have been a top five projected defensive team. They're at 7. The Jazz are sitting at 11th or 12th. That's a top five defensive team we projected. They're not there. The Warriors are 13th, but it's hard to tell because their offense is so good. And the San Antonio Spurs are now walking their way up a little bit, but they're at about 20th. The worst defenses in the league are actually no surprise. Cleveland, Phoenix, Chicago, Minnesota, Dallas, Washington, and Houston. Houston's obviously a little alarming in there. And the Pelicans, hard to tell because they played a bunch of games without Anthony Davis. But the bad teams that we expect to be bad teams, all their defenses are in there. If you look at, I think this is interesting. If you split the defensive numbers right now, and take the bottom 15 defensive teams in the league. And how many of these, so there's 16 playoff teams. So if you take how many of these teams that I'm about to mention, did you think were going to be playoff teams? These are the bottom 14 defensive teams in the league. Sacramento, they're off it. San Antonio, maybe, because their offense is actually good. Orlando, New York, Brooklyn, Lakers. Okay, that's a great question of whether they're going to be. Pelicans, surprising their defense is this bad, but again, the Anthony Davis thing. Rockets, okay, that's eye-opening. Wizards, Dallas, Minnesota, Chicago, Phoenix, and Cleveland. If you guessed when the season started and you look at the bottom 14 defensive teams in the league right now, there's only four of those teams that you thought might have been playoff teams: San Antonio, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Rockets, and the Wizards, I would guess, and Minnesota. But in the West, one of those six teams has to drop out. It's pretty interesting. All right, we'll do points gained tomorrow. Steph might just be blowing it up. We'll see where Rudy is as well. And we'll get you ready for the matchup with the Memphis Grizzlies, which is a little bit, and we'll see whether Donovan's going. I'd be surprised. I have no knowledge at all, but hamstrings are tough. They don't just get better, and our schedule is brutal. Basically, we're playing a six-game road swing right here. Houston, you know, when you're home for one and you're playing Denver the next night, that Denver November 3rd game, I don't know if that's on Baxter Holmes' scheduling thing, but as a guy who lives in the league for 25 years, that one we have no chance. That is Locked On Jazz. Go to Locked On NBA now and listen to the interview with Sam Amick. It was super. Or tell your smart speaker. Just do this. Say, Alexa, play podcast Locked On NBA. Or do this. Hey, Google, play podcast Locked On NBA. You might have to tell it to play the latest episode. Sorry if I just got you. See ya.